And therefore, today is another day where we're going to just encourage ourselves. You know, usually in the full term, autumn or spring season, we usually have teams that we follow. But in the summer, we just try to encourage ourselves and to motivate us. So today we're going to do one of such. And I trust that the Lord will bless us through his word. Again, as I said, I'm preaching in English, so I hope those of us who don't understand will be benefit from translation, whether online. So the theme or the topic the Lord gave me today to talk to us today is interesting. I decided to caption it as "Check Your Inner Conversation." Check your inner conversation. In other words, check the talk you have with yourself. The talk you have with yourself, the personal talk you have with yourself. You know, more often we tend to have too many external influences from peers, friends, family, and the world, television and, you know, social media and all these. And those are externalities. But we also have this other dimension, which is when you are alone, when you are yourself, or when you are even walking alone or doing something alone, the kind of dialogue, the kind of conversation you have with yourself, you know, it speaks volumes. As sons and daughters of Jesus or of God or Christ, it is very important that we check the kind of conversation we have internally. And I'm going to read a scripture that will give us some hints or thoughts about this topic. Check your inner conversation. Let's open our Bibles to Mark, the book of Mark, the chapter 5. Then we'll read from verse 21 to 34. I read from the New International Version, I'm sure. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hand on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Note that a large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. Verse 25 says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my cloth?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at the feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And then the final verse, 34. He said, that is Jesus, to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Daughter, your faith has healed you. Check the internal conversation you have with your soul. You are a daughter, you are a son of Jesus. Yes, you are the child of God. But today, we are being encouraged to check the kind of inner conversation we have. You are born again. You are free. You have salvation. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You pray. You study the Bible. All these are very important and good for our development as children of God. But regardless, there are times that the circumstances and the situations of life can squeeze you to the point that, you know, you tend to forget the scriptures, the Bible that you know. You tend to forget that I'm even a son or daughter of God. Because you go through a situation, a circumstance, and you begin to question God, or you begin to question, you have many questions as a matter of fact. And because you don't have answers to those questions, you begin to almost give up. And here we are confronted with a similar scenario. Now, let me give us a background. You see, Jesus was in the region of Capernaum, or they call it Gerasenes, according to Mark and Luke. And, you know, there was the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus was traveling from one town to the other. You know, that was this the verse 4, when you go back a little from this scripture, was when Jesus actually walked on the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus was performing a lot of miracles and signs and wonders. And the people within those neighborhoods or cities or towns were hearing about Jesus and the miracles he was performing. So we see that in some of the cities or towns, Jesus was welcomed. In some, he was asked to go away. He wasn't welcome. And we see from the verse 21, I deliberately made us to read the verse 21 because what we are focusing on today actually starts from the verse 25, the woman with the issue of blood. But I just wanted us to encounter what happened. In one city where Jesus just landed, we are told that he was confronted by a man who is possessed by demons. And this man, when he saw Jesus, the Messiah, our King, the Lord of love, he just ran and bowed and said, "What do you want from me? Please do not torture me. Don't destroy me. Just cast me out." And in that moment, it wasn't the man, it was the demons who had possessed this man who were speaking. When you read that scripture, it says that the man had been possessed to the extent that he was living in the tombs and nobody could bind him, because even if they bind him with chains, he would lose himself. And it wasn't any physical, you know, really, realistically speaking, we can't do that ourselves. It was the forces, the demons in him who were doing that, causing him to you know, go crazy and do things of that sort. But when he saw Jesus and when he encountered the Messiah, he saw that there is a superior power coming. So he went to Jesus and said, "Please do not torture us. Cast us out." And Bible says Jesus asked, "What is your name?" They said, "We are called Legion." Actually, we are many. Then Jesus said, well, they pleaded with Jesus that instead of, you know, torturing them, he should direct them to go into some pigs who were on the hills. And Jesus permitted that they leave this man and go into the pigs. And when you read the scripture, it says that the pigs numbered about 2,000. And when the demons entered these pigs, they all left the hillside and drowned in the sea. So just one single man, there were about 2,000 demons possessing or within him. Can you imagine what this man was going through? Immediately that happened, the people in the city got scared and they pleaded with Jesus to leave. So Jesus left. And here we are introduced that when he crossed the river to the other city, then the crowd started coming. And there they welcomed him because they had heard that he was walking over the waters or the sea and, you know, healing the leper and doing all these miracles. So they welcomed him. And when you read the verse, I think 25, if I am right, no, 25, we are just, yeah, we start with the issue, the woman with the issue of blood. But when you read from the verse 21, he encounters Jairus, who was an elder in the church. Not an elder, but let's say he was not a pastor, but Bible says the ruler of the church. So he was like an elder or not a deacon, some kind of, you know, leader who manages the church. And this man had his little girl dying. She was really sick and dying. So Bible says when Jesus landed the shores and people started gathering, Jairus came and told Jesus, please, would you come to my house and lay your hands on my daughter because she's sick and she's dying so that she'll be healed. And Bible says Jesus immediately accepted to go with Jairus to his home. So the first thing I want us to note here is that Jesus was on his way from the shore to Jairus' house. He accepted to go to Jairus' house because he was a worker in the synagogue. He was a Christian. He was a believer. And he thought, so far as this is my servant, I have to help him out. I have to heal his daughter. So he was on a particular mission to heal Jairus' daughter at that particular moment. So he started moving, and as we read from the scripture, the crowd started gathering. The crowd started gathering. They said, they pressed. You know, have you been in a festival or in any conference or anything where there are so many people that, you know, it's like you're pushing each other and hugging each other and there's no space to... That was how it was. They had heard the miracles and the signs. So some commentaries say that they were bringing the lepers and the sick from everywhere for Jesus to heal because they had heard that he was just going about doing miracles and signs. So the crowd started coming. And there, and behold, we are introduced in the verse 25. It says that, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Other translations say, there was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. What is interesting here is that, you see, we don't know the name of this woman. The Bible does not tell us her name. She is introduced to us by her circumstance. We know her by her circumstances. She had an issue of blood for 12 good years. And that is all the Bible describes her. It is very important. You know, there are times that the situations you go through begin to form you, begin to identify you, so that you begin to lose your real identity, whether your name or your identity in Christ. There are moments like that in life where the circumstances begin to identify you. So this woman is no more known by her name, but she is known by her circumstance. The woman with the issue of blood. Bible says that she heard that Jesus was passing, or Jesus, she heard about Jesus and the miracles that Jesus had been doing. But what is important is that for 12 good years, let's go back a bit and look at her situation. She had been going through this issue. Now, I don't want to go too much into that issue of blood because it's a bit tricky with women. But if you read Leviticus 15, we are not going to read that here. If you are interested, when you go home, read that scripture. It was forbidden in the Jewish custom. And this is actually Bible. It's biblical. It was God who had given that commandment. That if a man had discharges, he should not touch anyone and no one should touch him or her. The same applied to women who had discharges, including blood. This was God's commandment. And therefore, within the culture, within traditions or that society, if you had any kind of discharge, you dare not touch anyone because when you touch someone, they're unclean. You are deemed unclean the moment you have discharges. And when you touch another person, that person is also deemed unclean. And nobody is supposed to touch you because the moment they touch you, they're also deemed unclean. So you can understand the situation. It will be really, really hard for this woman. You see, when we went through COVID-19 for almost 1.5 years now, I know the psychological impact that it has had on many people, including those working everywhere. When we began staying home, those who were lonely, those who had families, you know, the impact cuts across families and individuals and singles, and it had a devastating impact psychologically on everyone. So then, if you come to think of this woman who had this situation, and the custom said that don't touch anyone because you have discharges. It's abominable to touch someone. If you touch someone, you've made that person unclean. and nobody should dare touch you, then it means probably this woman was secluded, she was separated and lonely for 12 good years. And what is interesting here is that Bible says that she had gone to several doctors for help, but none of them could actually help her. To the extent that her situation got worse. So if you saw her in March this year, by July, she is worse. You know, the role of doctors is that they are supposed to listen to us and help us cure our medical condition. But this woman had been going from doctor to doctor, and her situation wasn't getting any better. It was rather getting worse. And now she exhausted all her resources. That is what the Bible says. Financially, psychologically, and physically. She was exhausted for 12 good years. How many of us can begin to think or put yourself in her shoes? And on top of that, the laws of the society say that you don't touch anyone and nobody should touch you. Begin to think how lonely this person would feel. I started thinking deeply about this, and I felt that, well, probably all her financial means were exhausted, because if she ever visited a doctor and the doctor would dare touch her, then it means for the rest of the day, that doctor cannot consult, will not attend to any patient. They are unclean too, so they need to go home. So that meant that you have to pay me huge sums of money. If not, I won't take care of you, you know? That's probably why she lost all her monies, and she was almost giving up for 12 good years. My Bible says when she heard about Jesus, because Jesus was going about performing miracles, signs, and wonders. And that is what is really, really interesting. She made a choice. She made a decision. But I want to ask, do you know somebody who probably is going through a situation like that? Not with blood. This woman had an issue with blood, but it could be that, some other person is going through a similar situation. It could be marital issue. It could be issues with relationship. It could be issues with education. It could be unemployment. Just begin to think. It's not just an issue of blood. There are some people who are struggling to get employed. And we are talking about sons and daughters of God, Jesus Christ. And you see, when you are in a situation for so long, as it was the case with this woman, the situation begins to define you. The woman with the issue of blood. The man who has been unemployed for 12 good years. The guy who has passed the age of marriage and is still single. Society begins to define, and you begin to lose your identity. And if you are not careful at that moment, you accept, because you immerse yourself in the situation. And we shouldn't overlook the fact that these situations actually suppress. I suppose this woman was physically weak as well, because blood coming out of you every day for 12 good years, you'll be weak, you'll be thin. And so physically, it will exert some pressure on you. It will come to a point you are so weak, you don't know what to do. You might want to give up. So when people begin to define you as the woman with the issue of blood, you say, yes, it's true, I'm the one. The guy who is dumb and confused and can't do anything good. Yeah, yes, I'm the one. I'm the most stupid person, I listened to one important speaker, motivational speaker, Les Brown. I don't know if anyone has listened to that man. He's an African-American. And he said he was a twin like me. I'm also a twin. And they used to call him the dumb twin. Why? Because they said he was the most stupid in class. And his other twin was smart, was sharp. So they used to call him the damn twin. Now he's one of the three topmost motivational speakers in the world. So sometimes you think these things we are sharing is just jokes. I mean, they happen. They are real. You go through a certain situation for 12 good years, and your teachers are just downgrading you. They tell you are not good enough. It comes to a point in time you begin to accept that identity that, oh, I'm not smart enough. My teachers think I've never crossed 50 mark, All the time, I'm 49, 50. The highest grade I get is 50. So I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I can do this. Then it begins to identify you. You begin to accept your condition, and it takes over. That becomes your identity. But today, I came to tell us that our identity is in Christ Jesus. Not in the educational system, not in the society or what the world thinks. Our identity, we know this already, is in Christ Jesus. And that defines who we are, and not what our teachers or our friends, our peers, or what the medical doctors or whatever think our situation is. Hallelujah. Let us proceed. I want to tell us a bit about the limitations, obviously, that this woman will face. And then we can confront or understand what the impetus of what the action this woman took. Number one, she was sick and certainly weak, as I said. That was the first limitation. She had the issue with blood, and she wasn't supposed to touch anyone. Nobody was supposed to touch. So she had this sickness, and physically she would be weak. Number two, as I've said, she was not allowed to touch anyone, and nobody was allowed to touch her. So probably lonely, secluded, and if you go out, you have to be careful to make sure nobody comes her way, and you know, all these restrictions and carefulness. So she was going through a lot. Now, we have to also understand, in this particular instance, Jesus had a mission. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. It wasn't about this woman. It was about Jairus' daughter. Okay? And we know what was happening with Jesus, around Jesus. The disciples were there, and there was a massive crowd following Jesus. So, thinking about what this woman was going through, it was basically impossible to reach Jesus. It was basically impossible to get to Jesus. So we have to take into account that sometimes our faith can be hampered. You know, we begin to doubt and we begin to undervalue our God because the realities on the ground tells us, look, this is impossible. That is what I want to pass across. Looking at the circumstances of this woman, she had many limitations that would actually prevent her from going out and reaching out to Jesus. Because she was sick, she was not supposed to touch anyone. If she wants to touch Jesus, she definitely touch someone, and that person becomes unclean. And if the leaders of the Pharisees should see her, she'll be detained. She has committed crime immediately. So she was making a risky move, actually. So if you want to go by the rules, she wouldn't go out at all. She had no business going out. And most of us do go through some of these limitations in life. You begin to look at the realities on the ground and you say, well, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure this is possible. Unless an angel comes and clears the way, there's no way I can get to this man. But we have a circumstance here which is completely, completely different. When you read the verse 24, it says, the people were pressing around Jesus. And what this teaches us concerning this woman is that our limitations have no place in the exercise of our faith. You should not allow the limitations you see, the realities you see, to limit you from exercising your faith in Christ Jesus. Let's look at what she did. The Bible says that she acknowledged her condition, because if she had not acknowledged that she is sick, she wouldn't have gone to seek for medical attention. Bible says that she went to several doctors because she knew she was sick. She went out and sought for help, regardless of her situation. She needed to have stayed in, but she didn't. She wanted to go out and get help. When she heard about Jesus, she believed. We are not told that this woman was a believer or a Christian. But we are told that when she heard about Jesus, she decided that she would go out and touch this man. She thought about it. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Do we believe the word of God that comes to us? Sometimes you see, as children of God, the scripture becomes so familiar. Bible becomes so familiar. Coming to church becomes so familiar that when we listen to the word of God or when we hear the word of God, it doesn't move us anymore because everything has become so familiar and our diseases, our conditions, our situations have become familiar. But Bible says that Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So when you hear the word of God, if you are supposed to believe, and when you believe in the word of God, you act. That is the point that, you know, God moves on your behalf. Because you don't just hear it and leave it. You hear the word, you believe, and then you act. And that is exactly what this woman did, the woman with the issue of blood. Regardless of all the limitations she had, she heard about Jesus doing the miracles, healing the leper and walking on water and all the possessed man being healed. And so, oh, if this man is doing this, then I'll definitely go and touch him. No matter the crowd, no matter the limitations, I'll have to touch this man. And that is really, really beautiful. Bible says that she came behind Jesus and penetrated the crowd and touched his garment. Let's read the verse 28. It is beautiful written there that... Let me start from the 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I just touch his garment, I will be healed. She thought in her mind. That's why I titled the message, Check the Conversations You Have with Yourself. She had a conversation with herself, and she thought and decided that if I would go out and touch this man, because I've heard that she is doing many miracles, I am sure that I will be healed. And she acted on the word and went out regardless of the limitations and touched Jesus. I've stated here that according to scholarship, you know, stress is largely self-induced through our inner conversation. That is what literature scholarship says. That stress, the stress we go through, is largely self-induced. That is, you bring it upon yourself. Right? Through your inner conversation. Think deeply about that and see if whether it is true or not. This woman had a beautiful conversation with herself. She was sick for 12 years. She was weak. She had exhausted all the means, financial, physical, everything. She could have given up. She had lost her identity. She wasn't called by her name anymore. She should be giving up. Is any one of us in that moment, in that situation where you are almost giving up? That, look, I've tried everything. Now I'm tired. You know, I'm tired. I've done enough. At least I've been to all the doctors, all the experts in the world. Nobody can cure my situation. That is fair enough. I have to just relax now. You know, she could have given up. But Bible says she did not give up. And she had this beautiful discussion, conversation in her mind. If only I can go out and touch this guy's garment, I will be healed. So I wrote here that please be mindful of the kind of inner conversation you have with yourself. For the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, I hope you can show it on the screens, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Some translations will say, as a man thinketh, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. What you think, you are. In other words, our thoughts have the capacity to become real. And you would all agree with me that the mind is a powerful organ within the human body. You know, out of the mind, men have gone to space. Wars erupted, wars were ended through the ingenuity or the genuineness of use of the human mind. Today you use MacBook and iPhones and you fly on aeroplanes. You know, men are going to space and trying to, capture space, or is it colonize space? We recently heard of Jeff Bezos and the Virgin Atlantic guy, what's his name? They all are going to space, trying to, you know, colonize space so that in the future when there's volcano, they will all run there. You see what men are doing? It's by the power of the mind. Some people choose to use the mind in such a way that it creates, because God has given us that power of imagination. And that's why I want you to be careful of the kind of inner conversation you have. If you think so negative about yourself, it has the power to become real. Because as men think, so are they. As men think that let's create
you know, a spacecraft or whatever rocket that can go to Mars and let's try and colonize. They're doing it. So if you begin to think, for me, you know, I've never crossed the mark of 50 in any exam. So I think what my daddy said I was stupid, or my mom said, or my brother said I was stupid. I think he's true, he's right. You know, I've done everything, and I'm always marked down. I don't think this is possible. The moment you start confessing that it has the capacity to form your identity, then you begin to lose your real identity in Christ Jesus. And that is why I came today to say that let's check the kind of inner conversation we have. Regardless of our circumstance, regardless of what you are going through, check your inner conversation. You could be tongue-speaking, Holy Ghost-filled, very prayerful. You might be reading the scripture every day, but you still doubt God. Because you go out there and you face the realities and you begin, so God, why have I served you all these years and yet I have this disease for 12 years? Why is my mom dying with cancer? You don't have many questions. And you begin to lose faith in Christ Jesus because of what men or the circumstances are telling us. Let's read the verse 30 quickly and see the results, the outcome, as we try to wrap up. The verse 30 says, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Do you understand the meaning of what has just happened? I want you to understand that when Jesus was moving to Jairus' house, the disciples, Peter and John, all those guys were surrounding, they were the bodyguards. Hey, don't come close to the master, you know. And then the crowd were just folding and pushing each other. They want to touch this guy. In that circumstance, in that moment, this woman touches the garment of Jesus, and Jesus turns and says, who touched me? And you see what the disciples said? They said, but you look at all these many people squeezing and, you know, touching. Many people are touching you. How do you ask who touched me? And that makes some sense, because Bible says they were just pressing against him. So people were touching him here and there. The disciples were touching him. The disciples were pushing each other because the crowd were just coming. But in the midst of that, in the midst of all the touches and the pushing, Jesus never questioned who touched me. But upon the touch of this one woman, Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? You see, I came to tell us that God is not impressed by our position, by our titles, by our work or our job, by our family and all these things. The houses and the cars and how much we can recite and speak. And God is not impressed by all those things. Jesus is impressed by our faith. In the midst of all that was happening, Jesus sensed that power had been drawn from him. So he asked, who touched me? Because I felt that someone has drawn. I felt power go out of me. You see, there is a kind of faith that draws the heaven closer. There is a kind of faith that is able to draw the heavens closer to your cause. And that is the kind of faith that this woman had. She had an inner conversation and decided that regardless of all the limitations, I'll still trust Jesus. She believed and acted. And, you know, Jesus, the God we serve, immediately sends that, no, there is a certain faith, there is a certain belief in action. Because this woman who was identified as the woman with the issue of blood has penetrated the crowd and touched me. So power has gone out of me. You know, there are times that's why I was saying earlier that we become so familiar with the word and with Christianity that we begin to lose sense of our faith. You know, the disciples were there, and there was a lot of crowd, but none of them, it's recorded that Jesus felt had been touched by. But the moment this woman touches him, he identifies, because she drew power from Jesus. And that is very important. We have to understand that. We have to develop that kind of faith, which has to do with the kind of thoughts,
conversations we have, based on our experiences and the situations we go through in life. Finally, I want to note this. You see that in the verse 34, let me read it. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Because the Bible says immediately she touched Jesus. She became free. She became whole. The blood flow stopped immediately. And when she came and knelt before Jesus and confessed, told all that had gone on, Jesus now says, "Daughter." Her identity is what? Restored. She is no more the woman with the issue of blood. She is now nobody. She comes from nobody, somebody with no identity, to somebody with identity in Christ. Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith, it is your faith, not what I did, but what you did that has healed you. Go in peace and be free." Our Jesus, our God, the God we serve, is able to restore our identity if only we can believe in him. So I came to encourage us today that if you are going through a moment, or if any friend or family member is going through a circumstance, a moment, and you are praying and praying and you are trusting God, do not give up. Keep trusting Jesus, because it is that level of faith, it is that level of belief in that God is able to do it, that pulls, that causes the heaven to move on your behalf. Remember that Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Based on a single touch of an unbeliever, somebody who was not supposed to be there in the first place, who had no business to be there. The question is, do we have that kind of faith? And most importantly, that kind of faith happens mostly with what goes in here, our internal thoughts, our inner conversations. Be careful and check it. Jesus is with us. Holy Spirit is in us. But one thing is that, you know, sometimes they give us the freedom to make our choices, and they try not to control the thoughts you have. So you have much freedom to decide what to think about and what not to think about. You can choose to believe the word of God and follow the word of God, and your thoughts become clean. You choose to allow what the world tells us, and your thought becomes corrupt. And that is the moment you get confused and you start giving up. Finally, I want to tell you this. The woman with the issue of blood lost everything but refused to lose her faith. She lost everything in the world. Her finance, her physics, her emotions, everything she lost. That's what the Bible says. But for her faith, she chose not to lose it. And don't forget that the world can take everything away from you, but they cannot take your faith from you. There have been people who have been killed, or is it murdered or slaughtered, because of their faith. They did not allow the world to take their faith from them. And you can choose to do that. Christ be with us as we go through this life journey, day in and day out. And we pray that we are encouraged and strengthened, and that we have the right kind of conversation and thoughts that will cause the heavens to move on our behalf. Let us pray.